So today we are doing verse number 21. In the past couple of weeks, we have been studying how to silence the mind, how the mind which is running in various directions, in various thoughts, how to quieten it through the chanting of the mantra, through breath control and all the other techniques. And you make the mind single-pointed. All depends on how we have lived the previous day. That has a major effect on my meditation in the morning. And then after having quietened the mind, how to fill it with positive thoughts. That's what we had done last week. So today we shall talk about how to recharge the mind. Because our mind, as we work in the world, and we deal with people and stressful situations and problems, and with all the stress, all the conflict, all the problems, all the busyness, you know, it gets very busy. It needs to be charged because it gets depleted, just as a cell phone. When you overuse it all day, then by the end of the day, it's only 5%. And then you are running, you know, to look for a charger because you say, oh, my phone is not working anymore. So the more you use the mind, the more it gets discharged, the more it gets stressed. And stress is one of the biggest factors. Even you may be doing nothing, but if you're thinking stressfully about a situation, you may not be working, you may not be just sitting and worrying about useless things, or just worry is one of the biggest factors. And stress, which discharges the mind, even sitting and doing nothing. So what they say is that whenever you have these kind of stressful situations, worries or problems, start thinking about God, or take time to go inward to find the energy within, because the ultimate source of energy is within. Just to go over this chart briefly for those who don't know, the body, mind and intellect are my equipment. The body with which I perceive the objects, the mind is the seat of emotions, I feel emotions. And the intellect is where I think thoughts, where I disjudge, you know, what is right, what is wrong. And vasanas are my tendencies, my habits, which I have accumulated not only in this life, but in multiple lifetimes, which determine my actions. Somebody with good tendencies will do good actions. Somebody with evil tendencies will do bad actions. And Om on top represents God's presence, represents the divinity, the Lord within. And that is the source of all energy. That is why I am able to speak with my body or walk. That is why I am able to feel. That is why I am able to think. So whatever I do in the world, it is because of the energy within, which is here described as Om. You can call it Jesus, Father in Heaven, Allah, Waheguru, whatever name you want to give, but it is the Lord's presence within. So how do I recharge the mind? The mind which has been depleted by stress, by problems, by conflict. So they say early in the morning, sit, get up and meditate at least 20 minutes to half an hour or 1 hour, because in meditation you are in connection. Just as when you connect your cell phone to that plug, the energy charges the phone and then it is ready to function for another day. So that 20 minutes or half an hour, or you know, some people even sit for an hour, whatever time you can spare in the morning, when you connect with the Lord within, that is called recharging the mind. So the mind is then ready to function another day. I'm ready to face the world. And the regular practice of that makes the mind more stable, makes the mind more quiet, more peaceful. And Krishna in the Gita says, one who has developed this ability to quieten the mind and connect with me, the Lord within, then even the greatest sorrows of the world, even death, even the greatest problems cannot dissuade such an individual from his or her path, from his or her peace of mind. And that's what we see in the lives of great saints, you know, whether it's in the East or the West, great saints and prophets, how many problems they faced. But they were cheerfully able to do that because they were connected with the Lord within. So that is called to recharge the mind. So recharging the mind is quietening the mind and then filling it with positive thoughts. Now, what are the positive thoughts we should do it? I probably won't be able to finish this today. We'll probably go another week, maybe even 2 weeks, because this material is very difficult, very advanced, so I'll try my best to cover it as well as I can. So today we'll talk mostly about the mind and maybe some of the qualities of Brahman, the Lord. What are the qualities of God? And then we'll continue that next week. So they say that the mind that is single-pointed is very potent. A mind that is focused on one thing. And that's what we find in men of achievements. You know, Hillary who climbed, Edmund Hillary who climbed Mount Everest. That was his focus, that I'm going to climb Mount Everest. Somebody who has made a great invention or made a, you know, high, very big company or won the Olympics, you know, or become very successful ballet, like, you know, Nureyev or any dancers, all because they have a single focus in life. And that is where we get disturbed, because we have so many different focuses, you know, foci. Oh, I have to also do this and also do that and also do this. And then a little bit of time we take out for myself, for God. And so we give it very little time. So you have to slowly make that your main focus, that my focus of life is to reach God, to know God in this life itself. So a single point, it becomes very potent. The example they give, like children, you know, the sunlight is so diffused, but when a child takes a convex lens and she then focuses the sunlight on one particular point, a black paper, that focus sunlight burns that paper, which otherwise, you know, would fall. So that power of the sun, which is diffused, can be harnessed by that one light of the lens, and that can even burn a paper. So similarly, our mind, when it is diffused, then it becomes very weak. But when a mind is focused, when it is concentrated, when it is one-pointed, then it becomes very potent. The other very important point in meditation is to silence the mind. And we have talked about that repeatedly. And how do you silence the mind? By regular practices. You know, we have the 7-point program. If you have watched my video, there are several points. One is to sit erect, you know, back, eyes closed so the mind is not running, body is relaxed, observe the breath, and then chant the mantra. So chanting of the mantra or one particular name of God is a very powerful way. And then when the mind is quiet, then some people think that's empty, you know, and we think the mind that is thinking more is very accomplished. I can do 2-3 things at one time. I can drive and I can even talk on the phone and I can drink a cup of coffee, and people feel very proud and I can do 3 things. Or in the companies, those who are multitasking are considered special. But what that is doing is making the mind unfocused. So the mind that is focused on what? On the inner self. So that is what we do in our meditation, direct the attention of the mind inward. And when you do that, when your mind is quiet, when it is focused, when it is through breathing and through chanting of Om or any mantra, and the mind becomes still, then people think that is empty, that is wasteful. But Swami Chinmayananda, in his comment in his book, says that that empty mind is not an emptiness of nothingness. It's not an emptiness of waste. It's not an emptiness of not accomplishing. It is the emptiness of silence, where there is supreme silence, deep silence. And in that silence, you see such, your mind becomes so peaceful, becomes so quiet. And that peaceful mind then becomes in contact with the Lord. Because what is an obstacle between me and the Lord? It is the thoughts. The thoughts and emotions. Because the moment you sit for meditation, your mind starts thinking, what did I do yesterday? What did she say? What did he say? And then, what am I going to do tomorrow? Or what am I going to do after meditation? What am I going to eat for breakfast? Useless thoughts like that, which is not important. Or what am I going to wear? Or where am I going to work? Or what am I... And the mind is just running. So that silence is when you truly experience that inner peace and inner energy. So when the mind becomes quiet, when there are less thoughts, then you feel the Lord's presence. So it's the thoughts which and the thoughts arise from vasanas, from tendencies, from desires. That's when thoughts arise, and the thoughts are an obstacle between me and God. So that's what I also find. The moment I sit for meditation, if my mind is running, I'm far away from the truth. But if I'm once in a while able to quieten the mind, then in that quiet mind, you experience inner peace, inner bliss, inner silence. And that is the goal of meditation. So it's not an empty silence, but it is a very vibrant silence. Silence of spaciousness, the silence of peace, the silence of energy. It's actually a very peaceful energy, very soft, very gentle energy, which then carries you throughout the day. And then Swamiji in his commentary talks about that volcanoes or protozoa, when the world first came, when the earth was very hot and it was forming, and then it was slowly cooling down when it had separated from the sun, and there were volcanoes and earthquakes and all kind of, you know, heat, and then the volcanoes were raining down. And slowly as the earth started cooling down, in the water came some small protozoa, single-celled amoeba. And these volcanoes are falling on them, and the heat and all the dust and all that. And the earth is shaking. And so now whom would you bet on? Who is going to survive? Is it going to be the volcano, or is it going to be the little protozoa? Who is the one that is more powerful? And it is so interesting that the volcanoes ended, but that protozoa ultimately grew and then became from one cell into two cells and then four and eight, and then ultimately became, you know, the little fish and the animals and birds and humans, and ultimately became great scientists and thinkers and great realized masters and saints and prophets, all that engineers, all that started from that one little protozoa. So the life, the consciousness is what is important. You know, what we do, we give a lot of importance to inert things, things that have no life, you know, like things like money or things like house or car or my jewelry or my. But more important is to give attention to the cell phone, yeah, than to the living person sitting next to us. She'll say yes.
Yes.
She agrees with that.
Where is my phone?
Where is my phone? Talking about money. So this man was walking in the park one day, and it was little dark at night. And as he was walking home, suddenly another man came with a gun and pointed in his. There was nobody around. Give me all your money. So he was scared. He said, what? He said, give me all your money or I'll shoot you. He says, you know what? You know whom you are talking to? I'm a congressman. He says, you are a congressman? Okay, give me all my money. So we get so attached, you know, to money or possessions or things. But more important is the life, the consciousness. And this inner God or inner consciousness that is always present with us. The reason I'm talking, because God is in me. Reason you are listening, because God is in all of you. The reason we are breathing, reason we are thinking, reason we are feeling, reason we are perceiving, because the divinity is within us. And that's one of the very beautiful techniques of meditation. You get up in the morning, I try that sometimes, face east, and then quieten your mind, close your eyes, and feel the energy of the sun. And the prayer is that O sun god, the one that illumines my sense organs, may it illumine my intellect. So you close your eyes, and when your mind is very still, you can hear the little birds chirping, the wind whistling through the breeze, and then the leaves fluttering. And in that silence, you can hear all that. And then you pay attention to who is listening, not to the sounds, but to the inner listener. The one that is behind the mind. You say, well, the ears are bringing then the sound to the mind, to the intellect, but the one that is behind the intellect, and that is the one that will illumine. So that's one of the meditation techniques. So this God is not known to us. We know everything else. I know science, I know biology, I know mathematics, I know language, I know this, I know music, dance, driving, I know swimming, I know all those things, but we don't know who we really are. Who is this God? What is my true nature? and that is not known to us. And that is described as truth or godhood or the highest truth, the highest nature, which is the truth. Truth means that which always was. See, there is something called false. False will come and go. You know, it cannot stay forever. Something that is false, something that is wrong, will be there for a while, and then eventually the truth will be discovered. And once the truth is discovered, the falsehood falls. So similarly, the truth is also called as God or the highest, which is always there, which is permanent. You know, the worlds come and go, people come and go, animals come and go, mountains arise and fall. But the Lord, the consciousness, was always there. He was there, he or that consciousness was there before the world. That's what the Bible says, God alone was. And then he decided to create the world, and the world was created. And then when the world will end, they talk about 40 days of rain, 40 days and 40 nights. So when the world ends, what in our Upanishad is called pralaya, that the world will end, even when the world will end, God will still remain. And that's what our Upanishad describes, a period of approximately 4 billion years. That's described in our scriptures. That the earth will be created and the universe, it will survive for 4 billion years. Then all the stars will die down, all the planets will burn out, everything will end, and the world will become nothing. And then there will be silence for 4 billion years, and then again the creation will start. So this is not the first creation. There have been several such creations. So this truth has been in existence for billions, trillions of years. So that is the Brahman. That is the I. Now what is Brahman? The Brahman is a very beautiful word, which in Briha means big. So the Brahman is big. What do we mean by big? We say, well, there is a big mountain, or there is a big car, or a big house, or a big country, you know, or a big planet. Like, you know, Jupiter is bigger than the Earth, many times bigger. So these are all big something, like big planet, big house, big car, big man, you know, who is very tall and big. But this Brahman is not big something else, but bigness, which is big itself. So that which is the whole universe, everything is originated from that one. And that Brahman is not limited. It is not small something inside me, but it is everywhere. It is even beyond space. Even space was created in that. So that which is bigger than space, which goes beyond space, which extends even where space ends, and the origin of space, and that is called Brahman. That is, and that is everywhere. Because just as a pot, when it is created from mud, is nothing but mud, right? Now the mud, you can create a small pot, maybe a cup or a saucer or a vessel, or a bowl, or a big vase, or a huge, you know, those Ming dynasty vases. From a small cup to the huge vase, they are nothing but mud and mud alone, appearing in different names, forms, and giving different usages. The cup is used to drink, the plate is used to hold it, the vase is for flowers, the bowl is to, you know, hold some vegetables. So there are different names, different forms, different colors, different shapes, different uses, but their essence is mud. So similarly, that God or that consciousness from whom this whole universe came is the origin of this whole universe. And all of us have different names and forms, different uses. The chair is different from the table. The table is different from the mic. The mic is different from the flower or the plant or the human being or the bird or the fish. So there are different names, different forms, different uses. Now, chair you used to sit, table we don't. Table we used to put things. Pointer has different name and different use. But the origin of everything is that one Brahman, that one consciousness. And I have also originated from that. So all of us are a creation of that one Brahman, that one consciousness. Everything in this universe, even from the smallest particle of dust to the biggest mountain, to the biggest planet, to the biggest star, everything, to the humans, the birds, everything originated, just as all ornaments are nothing but gold in different shape, in different forms, in different names, the bracelet, the ring, the nose ring, the earring, they're all different ornaments, the anklet, but the essence is gold. So similarly, the essential nature of all of us, and that we should not forget, that God is not somebody far away sitting in heaven. He is. God is not only in church, temple, or mosque. He is. But God is within me and is me, that divinity. I am not separate from that God. So we can love God with a particular form or name, but ultimately you have to discover the divine presence in me, and that I am. I am not separate from that God. I am not somebody who is different, somebody who is separate, but it is that one divinity. And what that does is, first of all, it makes me feel closer to God. God is not far away. God is not somebody sometime in the future, maybe I will reach. I just have to turn attention inward. That's what one of our Saint Kabir Das Ji says, that you look within. He says, I'm not in the temple, I'm not in the mosque. He says it very clearly, I'm not even in the church. Just look within, and I am the breath of your breath. I am the mind of your mind. I am not far away. Balbhar ki talas mein, you know, I am the breath of your breath. I am the mind of your mind. I am the one that is making you think, making you talk. So turn your attention inward, and you will find me. That is the easiest, that is the closest way. So through meditation, through listening to reading this, this is what I have spoken, you can go home and read. And by reading this or paying attention to this, or by regular contemplating upon it, and by applying it in my life, that I am not just an average individual, I'm not a limited, useless creature, but I am divinity. That's what Jesus had said, the Father in heaven and I are one. And he could say that, and we can also say that, because we are also that same divinity. The one divinity that was in Jesus is also there in us. The divinity that was in Jesus is also there in the murderer, is also there in the rapist, is also there in the criminal, is also there in every one of us. The difference, the divinity, Om, is the same. The difference is the vasanas, the tendencies, the habits. And that's what makes a saint or a criminal or a sinner or a good or bad person. So God is same. But how we express his power is different, just as nuclear energy is the same. Nuclear energy is the same. Whether you use it to cure cancer or you use it to kill 100,000 people, nuclear energy is the same. Nuclear energy does not say you can use me. You can use me to cure cancer. You can create roads and all. Or you can use me to kill people. So the choice is ours. So similarly, God is within every one of us as energy, as power. And the choice is, am I going to be good or am I going to be evil? And tapping that inner source of energy is what is called recharge the mind. So this is today's talk. I was hoping to cover the nature of Brahman or who this God is, but looks like we'll need two more talks, so this will continue. It's a very, very beautiful subject. And next 2 weeks, we'll cover what is the nature of this Brahman, this consciousness that is me. So God is not separate from me. God is everything. And if God is everything, then God is me too. If God is this chair, this table, this pointer, this mic, this recorder, everything is God, then I am also an expression of that. So that is the message of this particular chapter. But it is, actually what I have just summarized is the beginning of this chapter. Then Swamiji has spent translating some beautiful verses which are in Sanskrit. He has given the English meaning. You can read those and I'll try to explain that. If anybody would like the original chanting of Sanskrit, I can email it to you. If you stay at the end, I will send you that chanting. But that does not have the translation, so you'll have to keep the book and listen. But I mean, there are many people who have done that, but the best one that I have heard is from Swami Brahmananda from Bangalore. He belongs to the Chinmaya Mission. Unfortunately, that translation is not in, it's in Kannada, so most of us won't understand. But you can listen to it because it's very soothing, and then read the meaning. After the first two pages of this chapter, then the third page is the actual verses have been translated by. Yes, yes, these pointers that we will talk about next week. All of this actually can be used for meditation, but especially those pointers of who I am will be very useful in meditation. So in the next 2 weeks, we will go into detail of what is this, who is unattached, who is immortal, existence, conscious, what each one of these words means. And actually, there are a lot more pointers in those verses. So if you want to listen to the chanting, you can contact me. I'll send you the email at the end of the class. Any questions, any comments? Or when you're,
I try to like breathe in and breathe out, but just, it's like a strong that within. I don't know what that is.
I think that there is a source of energy within us, and when you breathe in and out and you pay attention,
yeah,
yes.
To breathe in and out when I feel it.
Yeah, yeah. So when that happens, instead of focusing on the energy, focus on the source. Who knows this energy? Otherwise, if you get caught in that, then that is also an activity of the mind, because the source of energy is within us. We all have a lot of focus of energy, but instead of focusing on the energy, just turn your attention to who knows the energy. Where is the source? Where is the origin? And then immediately your mind will become quiet, and the energy is there. That's good. There's nothing wrong or nothing bad.
I get scared because I feel it's like strong.
Right, right.
So I don't know what that is.
So just breathe. Continue to breathe and pay attention to who knows the energy. Who knows this? Because if you are paying attention to the energy, yes, that can be scary. It's very powerful. But if you pay attention to the knower, who knows the energy and what is the source of the energy, and that is me, the Lord within, then immediately your mind will shift from the energy to the knower. And that's okay. Let it be there. There's nothing wrong. It's neither good nor bad. It is energy. It's neither good nor bad. Energy is energy, but you have to go to the source. And then just breathe, and then you can chant Om, chant the mantra. We have Om meditation in that CD.
Yeah, I just get really scared because I feel it's like, well,
right.
You know, and before I didn't know what that was, you know,
right,
now
right.
I just try to meditate.
Good, just observe it.
Yeah.
Just observe the energy, do not get caught in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is it appearing?
It is coming from within, you know, it's the mental energy, because the mind, that when it becomes quiet, there is a lot of energy within us, which, you know, but if you forcefully force the mind to become quiet, then the mind sometimes just, it's like a rubber band, you know, you pull it, and then suddenly it releases. So similarly, the mind, if you are forcing it to become quiet, then it releases a lot of energy. So just gently do it, you know, without force. Just gentle breathing and just observation. Follow the steps,
like
the meditation steps, you know.
Who's the source?
Right, right. And go to the source. Yes.
So I am the source.
I am the source. And I am the witness of this energy. Pay attention to the witness. And we'll be talking about the witness in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But see, there is a, it's like, I'm given,
scared because I thought maybe I'm going to go crazy.
No.
I will get a sideboard, you know, that's why some like things like,
right.
Well.
No, you won't. It's like the example they give is like, suppose you are standing on Broadway in New York, and there is Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. You know, we have all seen that. And the parade is going by, and you are standing on the balcony. You happen to be on Madison Avenue where the parade is. And say you have a son or a daughter in the parade, then you are watching to see, oh, when does my daughter come? When will she come? But suppose you don't have any son, daughter, you have nobody in the parade. You are just watching without interest. So you start, you get up in the morning, you get your cup of coffee, and then you sit down. And before the parade has started, you are alone. You are just sitting on the balcony. There is nothing. And then slowly the parade comes, and then it goes. And you see all those characters, and Goofy and Mickey and all those, the turkey and all that, whatever the Thanksgiving, you know. And slowly the parade comes, and it's gone. And the parade is over, but you are still sitting So while the parade was there, you were there. Before the parade, you were there. And the parade came and you had no interest because you had no son, daughter, nobody. You're just watching. And then when the parade ends, then the watcher, I remain. So similarly, the mind has a parade of thoughts, constant parade of thoughts. And the thoughts will disturb us if we attach, like if there was my son or daughter and he's in the parade, but they have put him in underneath, way in the corner, and nobody can see him. So what is the use? You know, my daughter, she tried so hard and she has dressed up and all, and now she's inside the crowd and nobody can see her. Then you get agitated. Why? Because you're attached, because my daughter is in the parade. But if there is nobody, then you just watch. So similarly, thoughts bind us when we get attached. My object, my son, my daughter, my problems, my house, my car, my stocks, yeah, my this and that. But when there is no attachment, you're just observing the thoughts. Then the observer, the thoughts will arise. And then after a time, the thoughts will die down. Then the observer remains. So similarly, this agitation or this energy or this disturbance, yeah, in the mind will arise if you get attached to it and say, this is my thought or my problem. But if you say, yes, this thought is arising in my mind, but I am not the thought, I am the witness. So just as a person watching the parade without I and my, so I am watching the flow of thoughts. I am watching this thought arising, this energy, this disturbance, but they are not me because I am separate from those thoughts. So separate yourself and become a witness. That's what they call sakshi in Sanskrit, means the witnessing consciousness, and that I am. And the moment you are able to do that, you will be able to quieten your mind and reduce. Anything else, Neeru?
Yeah, it's like you're going in a car, but you don't have the car. You use the car.
Yes.
Same way the mind, you know, it has thoughts, but you are not the thoughts.
Right.
They're just coming.
Exactly.
Like that.
So use your mind just as you use your car. I use the car, but I am not the car. So I use the mind, I am not the mind. And same way I use the body and I am not the body. That's very much more difficult to do. But that also has to be done. And even when it's time to drop the body, the consciousness will always be there. I will always remain. So that's what even in the second chapter of the Gita, the Lord tells us. Gita we are doing on Sunday mornings at 11, I think some of you attend, where he talks about this one consciousness that is never born, that is never dies, and knives cannot cut it, water cannot wet it, fire cannot burn it. It's that one divinity which is eternal, and that I am. Thank you, but that's a good point. Thank you for bringing
it.
Don't
be scared of it.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be scared.
Right, right.
I did, because it's really strong.
Yeah, because it's a creation of your own mind. See, you created it yourself. If you created it yourself, then why should you be afraid of it?
Okay.
You just observe it. Just watch it and breathe. And turn it and start chanting your mantra. And chanting the mantra, breathe. And let it be there, but it's not me.
Got it. Thank you.
Some, you know, another thing is that when you're working, at work, there's so much stress at work, and you come home and you bring home the, you know, because it's placed on your mind, there's something you couldn't help but you have done it, or, mm-hmm, you know, the situation, or somebody said something, somebody is unhappy with you, whatever, your boss or your colleague, or whatever. And then, you know, it plays on your mind when you come home, and it just, when you will sit down and say, oh, okay, you want to try to unwind yourself, and it plays on your mind. You know,
yes.
I've been there, and I know.
Sure.
Somebody says something to you, it does.
Right, right. Especially if you're working in an atmosphere where there's a lot of psychiatric patients.
Pick up on an energy sensitive.
Right. So you pick up their energy when somebody is psychiatrically disturbed. So the more you meditate, then what you have to do is develop a detachment, which we will talk about next week.
Okay.
How to be unattached. And you detach. And you work in the world, but I am watching Wendy. See, when I'm working, you develop an attitude that I'm watching Wendy, who is at this moment dealing with this patient. So start watching, what is Wendy doing? Where is Wendy? Not that as a schizophrenic, but as a witness.
Yeah,
as a witness, because it's not that there are two people, but it is same way, start watching your mind. Which one of our teachers had told me, Swami Ishwarananda, who is becoming in September, he said, develop the habit of watching your mind. So even when you're driving, or when you are watching TV, or when you're cooking, or when you're doing the dishes, or when you're walking on the treadmill, or on the you know, Nordic track, or whatever, the cross trainer, pay attention to who is giving energy to the body. So when I'm doing the dishes, instead of paying attention, of course you pay attention to the dishes, but you pay attention to who is, same way when I'm walking on the treadmill or on the cross trainer or on the, I pay attention to who is energizing this body and who is energizing this mind. So pay attention. Today my mind is happy. Today it's unhappy. Today is stressed. Today it's disturbed. Today is peaceful. So the mind will have all these fluctuations, joy, sorrow, heat, cold, all these emotions. But become a witness of the mind and start practicing it. From today onward, I will watch my mind. So watching your mind is a very, and the more you meditate regularly, in meditation we practice, you know, watching the mind. So to train the mind, you have to watch the mind. And to watch the mind, you have to separate from the mind. If you are in the mind will disturb you. But if you can watch the mind, you can enjoy without. So we'll meditate. Let's just breathe for a little bit, and then we'll put off the lights. So just your eyes on your your fingers on your forehead, and with the thumb you will close the right nostril, use the right hand, and with the ring finger you will close the left nostril. So close the right nostril and take deep breaths in and out. Deep breath in, hold, breathe out. You can even do Om. Om. Hold, breathe out. Om. Om. Do it mentally. Hold your breath. Breathe out. Now close the left nostril and do the same thing through the right nostril 3 times, deep in and out, 3 to 4 or 5 times. And pause between inspiration and expiration. And then expiration, again pause. Can just put off the light. And now, having done that, now alternate. Breathe in through the left, breathe out through the right. And breathe in through the right, breathe out through the left. Keep alternating. And pause. In through the left, out through the right. Pause. In through the right. Pause. Out through the left. Let's do that 5 times. Now bring your hands down and keep breathing without your hands. In through the left, out through the right, in through the right, out through the left. The mind becomes still. Turn the attention inward. Who is the knower of the mind? Turn your attention to the Lord's presence within, the source of all energy, all peace. So continue to breathe and quieten the mind. And turn it inwards. I am that divinity. I am not this body. I am not the mind. I am not the intellect. But I am the witnessing consciousness. That is my true nature. Let us practice that for a few minutes. If your mind wanders, just go back to breathing and then turn your attention inwards.